All right. This morning we're going to talk about the basics of rightly dividing the word of truth. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, "Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now these are two short, simple verses in the Bible, but in this verse, 2 Timothy 2:15 particularly, we really find there some instruction in regard to how we can study the Bible in a manner that we can really understand it. You know, we call our radio broadcast that we have on Understanding Your Bible. That's what we call the TV program. And the reason we do that is because the fact is that today in the religious world, there's a lot of misunderstanding about the Bible. There's probably more misunderstanding than there is understanding. And yet there's a way, there is a simple way to study the Bible that causes us to be able to understand the Bible. I know I was in a religious system for years, and I read the Bible, and I had great confusion because I would find that the Bible would say one thing in one place, and I'd go somewhere else, and I'd read verses that literally contradicted what I had read in other places. And some people say, well, there are no contradictions in the Bible. But let me assure you, there are contradictions in the Bible. There are no errors in the Bible. But there is information that contradicts itself when you don't rightly divide the Word of Truth. Now, when we talk about rightly dividing the Word of Truth, you understand that everybody that studies the Bible divides it somewhere. Primarily, the biggest division that people look at is the Old Testament and the New Testament. And what people call the New Testament, obviously, are Matthew and all the books that follow. The Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi. And so most churches today consider themselves New Testament churches, and they don't really study the doctrine or take heed to the doctrine of the Old Testament. Some do, but most do not. But regardless of where people or how people study the Bible, most people make some division in the Bible. Now, if you can rightly divide the word of truth, then obviously you would be able to wrongly divide the word of truth. And so, what I want to look at today is, what does it really mean to rightly divide the word of truth? When Paul says that in 2 Timothy 2:15. Well, when you get over to the end of Malachi, you have in your Bible what's called the New Testament. And we won't address that particular subject today about what the New Testament is. But the first four books are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you read and study those books, you'll find that the Bible calls those the four Gospels. In those books, we find the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we find the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and His teachings to the 12 and other people during that period of time. All those books end with the death, burial, and resurrection, and the time following that, where He's instructing the 12 about what they're to preach and so forth. The next book in your Bible is the book of Acts. Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. And in the book of Acts, in chapters 1 through 7, you find that the 12 apostles, the Jews having been replaced by Matthias, are preaching that which Jesus Christ instructed them to preach. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is stoned to death. And then in Acts chapter 9, we find the salvation of the Apostle Paul. And when Paul is saved, we see that the Apostle Paul, in his first message in Acts chapter 13, begins to preach things that were different from what we've heard preached all the way up until that time. So after the book of Acts, by the way, after Paul is saved, there's only one other time that you find Peter, James, and John and the 12 mentioned in the book of Acts. And after that, it's all about the ministry of Paul. Interestingly enough, the next 13 books in your Bible are Romans through Philemon. Those are the 13 books that are written by Paul. Some people say Paul wrote Hebrews. I personally don't believe that, but some people do believe he did. I believe that Paul wrote Romans through Philemon. And then the next books are Hebrews through Revelation. Now, when we talk about rightly dividing the Word of Truth, you understand that I believe that all the Bible is written for us. We're to study it from cover to cover. No portion of the Bible is more inspired than the other. No portion of the Bible is more perfect than the other is perfect. The Bible is all Scripture is given inspiration of God. It's all equally inspired. It's all been preserved for us. The difference is that I believe that there are 13 books in this Bible that are written directly to us as members of the church, the body of Christ. And that's Romans through Philemon. You say, well, why do you believe that? Well, I believe that for several reasons. Number one, the Apostle Paul said that he is the apostle to the Gentiles. I'll magnify my office. He says that three different times. He calls the gospel that he preached my gospel. He says that we're to be established according to the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. And he said that mystery was committed unto him. And he also said that he was given the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, obviously, as I said, we're to study all the Bible. And there are many truths that we can benefit from in all of the Scripture. But as far as the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, I believe that you find that exclusively in Paul's epistles. And where there are things that agree with Paul's epistles outside of that, certainly those things are to be heeded for us today. But the fact is that we have a division in our Bible. And it is the division that is laid out there after the book of Acts, 13 epistles by the Apostle Paul, who is the apostle to the Gentiles, given the dispensation of the grace of God, given the gospel of the grace of God, who is called our apostle, and he says three different times, "Be ye followers of me." Now, that's pretty strong instruction. But to go further to answer the question of why do we take that position? Well, we take that position because of the fact that when you compare Scripture with Scripture, and by the way, any truth or any doctrine that you hear preached, the best way to examine that doctrine as far as truth is concerned is to compare Scripture with Scripture. It's not necessarily important to compare what I believe with what another preacher believes or anything like that. The idea is to compare Scripture with Scripture. And so for the short time we have, I want to look at some Scriptures that differ outside of Paul's epistles with what the Apostle Paul wrote and show you that there is a difference and that those differences are significant. The first one relates to the gospel. I want you to get Matthew 24 and get also Acts chapter 20. Matthew 24 and Acts chapter 20. As we turn to these verses, what we're going to see here in these verses is that the gospel that Peter and James and John were instructed to teach along with the 12 by the Lord Jesus Christ is called the gospel of the kingdom. For time's sake, we won't turn to all the passages, but in Matthew 4, the Bible says that Jesus Christ went about teaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew 10, he sent out 12 disciples and he said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus Christ is giving the disciples some final instructions based on some questions they have asked him about when he's going to return, what shall be the sign of thy coming, the end of the world, and so forth. In Matthew 24:14, he says, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So you find a consistency in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that is, they are preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The word gospel means good news. What they're preaching is that the good news is that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has come to reign upon the throne of David. That's the good news of the kingdom. That message is rejected. The Lord Jesus Christ is put to death. He is buried. He was raised again from the dead. And he tells those disciples to preach that gospel, beginning in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. The Apostle Paul is saved in Acts chapter 9, and notice what he says in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 24, he says, "But none of these things move me," talking about the fact that he's going to be suffering persecution at Jerusalem. "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." You see, the gospel of the grace of God, also called the gospel of Christ, is the gospel that Paul preached. Well, where do we find that gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. "Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and He was raised again the third day, according to the Scriptures." What did Peter preach? "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." Folks, those are not the same. People say, well, what they were doing over there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is they were looking forward to the cross. They preached the same thing Paul did. I had a man tell me that recently. That can't be, folks. In Matthew 10, they're sent out to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in Matthew chapter 16, turn there with me if you will. In Matthew chapter 16, we find something very startling, especially to those that believe that what they're preaching is a message of the cross, looking forward to the cross. I mean, I heard that for years, and you've heard that too. Well, notice what Jesus Christ said, shows them. In Matthew 16, verse 20, "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Now consider this, folks. I mean, these things are not hard. If Jesus Christ sends him out in Matthew 10 and tells him to preach the gospel of the kingdom, and he did, and they'll start right then doing it, and they don't even know that he's going to die until Matthew 16, could the gospel of the kingdom possibly have included the death, burial, and resurrection? Obviously not. But when Paul preaches the gospel, he said, this is the gospel that we glory in. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised again the third day. And you can read the first part of Acts over and over and over again, and you will never find where that message is preached. What you will find is repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ instructed them to preach after His resurrection. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 24, He opened their eyes of understanding to the Scriptures, and He said unto them in Luke 24:46, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." You see, folks, Peter followed exactly to the T what he was supposed to preach. Repentance and remission of sins. He preached a murder indictment to the nation Israel, Acts chapter 2. They said, "What shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." And you know, the failure to rightly divide the word of truth has caused many people today to believe that water baptism is absolutely essential for salvation. And there are multitudes of people today that are preaching Acts 2:38 as salvation for us today in the dispensation of the grace of God. And there is no explanation for that if you don't rightly divide the word of truth. Acts 2:38 is absolutely true to whom it was written to. Peter says three times in Acts 2, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." Paul said, "I was given the gospel of the grace of God." He said, "The gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And he said, "That gospel is that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was rose again the third day." But not only is the gospel different in time past, the practices were dramatically different. Look in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, here again, we need to understand that the message is to Israel. In Acts chapter 2, verse 43, the Bible says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." You see what they did there? They did something that there's not many churches today that I know of. I don't know of any, but there may be some. But there are very few and far between that people actually do. I mean, this is the Bible, folks. You want to follow the Bible? Well, you need to rightly divide the word of truth. You know why? Because if you don't, you need to practice Acts chapter 2. Sell your possessions, goods, lay them at the apostles' feet. If you can't find the apostles, just bring them here. You know that's not written to us, folks. There's a change. There's a difference. As a matter of fact, people say, well, why were they told to do that? Well, go back to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, you see, when you read Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 1 and 2 in its entirety, you'll find out that Peter, when he stood up on the day of Pentecost to preach, he said, "This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel." And you compare that with Joel chapter 2 and Joel chapter 3, and you'll find out that what Peter believed was that they were fixing to enter into the 70th week of Daniel, or were already in it. They believed that the prophetic program that God had laid out in the Old Testament, and the prophetic program was this, that there was going to be the coming of the Messiah. He was going to be rejected, led as a lamb to the slaughter. He was going to be put to death. He was going to ascend into heaven, and he was going to pour out wrath for 7 years. You remember what John said in Matthew chapter 3 when they came to his baptism? He said, "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" They were expecting wrath. Why? Because part of the prophetic program was the rejection of the Messiah. The next event was to be the 70th week of Daniel, 7 years of tribulation according to Daniel chapter 9. And then after that, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return and establish His kingdom. That's what Peter believed was happening. Therefore, he's following the instructions based on what the Lord told him in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" He's instructing them about a time when God is going to meet their needs. He's going to feed them. He's going to provide for them. He's going to sustain them so that they might endure unto the end of that period and be saved. Now, you know, folks, that people today, they might say they believe all the Bible's written to them, but do you know anybody that really says they take no thought for their life, what they're going to eat or drink? Most of you have already thought about what you're going to eat and drink when you get out of here. You do take thought for it, what you're going to put on. As a matter of fact, Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. So a drastic difference in the doctrine between what the Lord Jesus Christ taught the 12 and what Paul wrote by inspiration to the church, which is to his body. Look back there in Matthew chapter 6, another example of that. Verse 19. Matthew 6:19, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Say, well, the Lord just forsook them. You see, if you read and study the Bible, what you find out is that those saints there at Jerusalem, they end up destitute. They end up poor. The Apostle Paul is going around to the churches. He establishes taking up a collection for the poor saints where? At Jerusalem. Why? Because God has revealed through the Apostle Paul that instead of fulfilling the 70th week of Daniel, He has brought in a new period of time, what we call a parenthetical time period. It's called the dispensation of the grace of God. And now for over 2,000 years, God has been dealing with men not on the basis of being affiliated with Israel, not on the basis of His chosen people, but on the basis of His grace. And today, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, we are living in the dispensation of the grace of God. And we are recipients of God's grace every day of our life by being able to exercise our faith in what Jesus Christ did without the works of the law. Simply by faith we can be saved and eternally secure and go to heaven. The nation Israel, God's chosen people, were following explicitly the instructions given to them. The 12 were, until God interrupted that program and through the Apostle Paul showed that there had been a change. Matthew chapter 6, notice there in verse 19. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Well, you know anybody that believes Matthew's written directly to them that has a savings account? I do. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. Notice the conflict in information of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, again, doctrine that is different. Doctrine is different. Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." You know what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? In verse 14. He said, "Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." Now, you know there's a reason for that. He says in Corinthians that the parents are to lay up for the children. My children remind me of that quite often. I'm just kidding. You know, it's funny, when you turn 60 years old, they start picking out stuff. Like we're not going to be here another week or something. But, you know, there's a practical reason for that. You know what Paul tells Timothy? He says that as the parents get older, the children are to requite the parents. In other words, the parents should lay up for the children, so there's going to come a time when the parents are going to need the children to take care of them. And I can tell you, I have a deep admiration for people that do that. I know in many instances it's just not possible, but that's what the Scripture says. Well, the Scripture says that because there was a change that took place. We're living in the dispensation of the grace of God. We're not living in a limited time period where we're not going to need anything. Paul says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. He says to lay up for your children. Children require your parents. Listen, folks, the whole body of doctrine in Romans through Philemon is the doctrine that you need to be paying attention to today, because that's the instructions, the marching orders for you as a member of the church, the body of Christ. And when you confuse that with the kingdom doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the doctrine of future things in Hebrews through Revelation, you end up in total confusion. And that confusion will lead to discouragement. Let me show you an illustration of that. In Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 7. The Bible says there, and it shall... Matthew 7, 7. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Now, you know that most of you have heard preachers preach that and tell people to name it and claim it, ask and you shall receive, and so forth. And yet we find that although we have much instruction about prayer through the Apostle Paul, we're told to pray without ceasing, to be instant in prayer, that we don't have the same promises in relation to answered prayer. A great illustration of that is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12:7, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me, and he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul said that you ought to pray about everything, but folks, you need to understand that when you pray, you have no specific promise like the 12 had in relation to answered prayer. And if God doesn't answer your prayer, you know what you can be absolutely guaranteed of? God's grace is sufficient. In every area of your life, no matter what the circumstance is, God's grace is sufficient. And that's a wonderful promise. And the reason that changed, folks, is because of the fact that today God is not dealing with us on the basis of being Israel, where he said, if you'll do thus and so, then I'll give you this. You see, so much of the confusion today about the prosperity gospel and the way God is dealing with people is based on the fact that people today are claiming the promises made to God's chosen people, the nation Israel. And he says in Romans chapter 11, Paul says in Romans 11, that the nation Israel has fallen. They're not cast away. God's not through with them. And God did not replace Israel with the church. God is dealing with us on the basis of his grace. And if you confuse the instruction of the kingdom program with the instruction of the grace program, your life is going to be one of confusion. And not only confusion, but of discouragement. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to over the years that have been totally discouraged because they claimed certain promises that were not theirs. And they never saw things come to pass. And it shook their belief in the Word of God. You can believe this book. And you can really believe the words mean exactly what they say, where they say it, to whom they say it, if you'll rightly divide the word of truth. If you don't, you're going to end up in confusion. It's important that we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I hope you'll do that.
You've been listening to a message recorded live at Grace Bible Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. This is Pastor Steve Atwood, and I would invite you to come and be with us at our fire services at Grace Bible Church, 3827 Hickson Pike, located in the Hickson area of the Rivermont area, here in Chattanooga. Our telephone number, if you would like to call, is 423-847-0768. Also, we would invite you to visit our website at www.understandingyourbible.com. At the website, you'll find a link to our email, and you can send me an email if you'd like to with any comments and questions you might have about the broadcast. Again, that's www.understandingyourbible.com, all one word. And if you would like to call, the telephone number is 423-847-0768. I hope you'll tune in again next week for the broadcast at the same time.